Welcome to the latest episode of our series Spanish History 101 from Brian Spain Domain. This is episode 12, The Visigoths. In the previous episode, we discussed the arrival and presence, albeit brief in some cases, of the different Germanic tribes. The Vandals, the Alans, the Suevi, they all made incursions into the Iberian Peninsula in 409 AD or CE with varying degrees of success, but eventually they either left or pretty much disappeared and integrated into the rest of the cultures. In the end, only the Goths, or the Visigoths, the very tribe that sacked Rome in 410 AD, managed to emerge victorious from this period of transition. The process wasn't a quick one. If anything, you get the sense it happened almost by chance. The Visigoths, under the leadership of Ataulfo, entered the scene in 415 AD as allies of the Romans and were on a mission to oust the other Germanic tribes. They were fairly successful. The Vandals and Alans departed relatively quickly, just 15 years later in 430 AD. After that, for a while, they acted as a kind of semi-autonomous section of the Roman Empire until the Western Roman Empire collapsed in 476 AD, leaving them practically alone, with the exception of the Suevi in the northwest, who had already peaked as a regional power a few years before and were no longer a major threat for the most part. So you could almost say that they kind of inherited the territory. But the Hispanic part of the kingdom hadn't been fully formed yet. A few more events would have to take place for that to occur. You see, for many years, the hub of the kingdom, of the Visigoth kingdom, was located in southern France in the city of Toulouse. The Visigoths controlled much of what would have been Aquitaine, but little by little, they saw themselves getting pushed out of that land by the encroaching Franks from the north under the leadership of the legendary King Clovis. This is a very complicated history, so I'll basically sidestep it for the most part. In short, Clovis defeated the Visigoth king in an upset victory at the Battle of Vouillé in 507 AD. And though it did not end the Visigoth control there, it did signal the beginning of the end. Eventually, they moved their center of operations to the other side of the Pyrenees, first to Barcelona, but finally to Toledo around 550 AD. Toledo was a former Roman city known as Toletum. It's essentially in the center of Hispania, so its location was very important, as well as advantageous. Not long after that, the Visigoth kingdom became known as the Kingdom of Toledo, and it would continue for the next 160 years, more or less, until 711 AD, when the Muslims invaded. So basically, in a sense, we are talking about an intermediate foreign power sandwiched between two major periods in Spanish history, Rome and the Muslim occupation of Hispania. Just how much of an impact the Visigoths had on Spain has been subject of much debate throughout history. Some look at them and their kings as sort of proto-rulers of modern Spain, which explains why you can see statues of some of them in the park just outside the Royal Palace in Madrid. And decades ago, Spanish children had to learn the names of all 34 kings by heart, even the ones who survived basically just a week. But then there are plenty of others who look at the impact of the Visigoth period as being somewhat limited, and they consider a couple of factors to explain the reasoning. One was demographics. Estimates of the actual Visigoth population in Hispania vary greatly, but they still range between 80,000 to 200,000 in all, civilians and military personnel included. Even if we accepted that high-end figure, that would have constituted maybe 5-7% of the total population made up mainly of Hispano-Romans. So the Visigoths may have had a hold on the power of Hispania, but it would have been ludicrous to assume they actually dominated the land. it simply would have been impossible, especially if you consider that the majority of that relatively modest size would have been concentrated in specific areas and not all over the peninsula. Another factor was politics or political instability. Believe it or not, the Germanic tribes traditionally elected their rulers. Being the son of the king didn't automatically make you next in line. Now, the Visigoths actually kind of switched back and forth from an elective system to a succession model based on inheritance. But if they could, they stuck to the traditional form. Now, electing chiefs sounds wonderfully democratic and ahead of its time, but the system did have its drawbacks. Losing factions often disputed the results and would assassinate the winner, if not within the first week, months, or maybe a couple of years later. That explains why many of the reigns were alarmingly brief. Of the 34 rulers, or some say 35 rulers, of the Visigoth period, only 15 died of natural causes. Needless to say, the occupational hazards were high, and this instability would weaken greatly the Visigoths' position and make them prone to future threats. And one final factor was that while the Visigoths were sometimes referred to as the civilized barbarians, they seemed to rely heavily on progress that had been made and achieved before they arrived. They adopted a lot of the Roman customs, laws, and practices, and they also occupied former Roman towns and cities instead of founding their own, for the most part. There are some exceptions out there. That said, that doesn't mean they didn't have their grain of salt, because certainly some very important decisions were made during this period that would influence Spain greatly down the line. First, let's talk about some of the major players during those years, because there were some very important figures who made a difference. King Leojavild is often considered to be the most effective monarch of the entire period. He reigned from 572 to 586 and consolidated the Visigoths' power by subduing the Suevi once and for all and removing their kingdom in northwest Spain. And he also managed to take back most of the lands occupied by the Byzantines in the south of Spain. As you may or may not recall, the Byzantines under Justinian I tried to restore the Western Empire to all its former glory and looked to reconquer the Iberian Peninsula. Justinian and company met initial success, but then they came to a halt. But basically, they controlled for a while there much of what would be considered Andalusia or Andalusia, the south of Spain. The Visigoths beat them back, but it wouldn't be until the 630s AD, more or less, that they were fully expelled. He was also the first to allow Visigoths and the Hispano-Romans to marry each other, marking sort of an early attempt to unify the land in that sense. By the end of his reign, he had practically unified much of the peninsula under one ruler, himself, initiating a trend towards the notion of a nation called Spania. It's still a very rough notion and very early in Spain's history, so we would do right not to exaggerate this point. He was succeeded by his son, Recared I, whose reign lasted from 586 to 601. Recared further consolidated the Visigoth position in Hispania, turning it into one of the most powerful in Europe at the time. But he is most remembered for something else, and that is for convoking the Third Council of Toledo in 589 and converting the kingdom to Catholicism. You might be asking yourself just what were their religious beliefs before that? Well, they used to belong to another kind of Christianity known as Arianism. Their doctrine differed in a number of ways from the Catholics, but probably the most significant was that they didn't believe in the Holy Trinity. To many, this branch of Christianity constituted heresy, and the rivals often took this religious dispute to the battlefield. Recared's decision was obviously controversial among the Visigoths, but he ended up imposing his will, though it was a risky decision. He was the object of no fewer than 4 assassination plots, but he miraculously managed to die of natural causes. So, with those two, some feel that the Visigoths became both the precursors of a Spanish national identity, as well as the establishers of the religion that would mark the mentality, politics, morality of this country all the way up until this day. That may be a little bit over the top, but I say this in case anyone thinks the Visigoths didn't have an impact on Spain's history. Other contributions. Well, in the middle of the 7th century, 2 more kings were to further cement the unity of their kingdom. There was King Recesvint, or Recesvinto, who ruled from 649 to 672. He, along with his father, the former king, was responsible for the promulgation of the Visigothic law, which was a code that brought all the subjects of the kingdom under one law. Before that, the Visigoths adhered to one code, and the locals, known mainly as the Hispano-Romans, fell under a different type of jurisdiction. By unifying this legal code, the king, Recesvinto, or Recesvint, which is a very difficult name to pronounce, trust me, essentially began to unify the population as one. Just how effective that decision was is still disputed, but things certainly were moving in that direction. And those are the 3 major points to consider or to remember when looking at this period in Spanish history. Is there anything left over from the Visigoth period? Well, it's not widespread, but there are remnants to be found around the country. As we mentioned before, the Visigoths found at few places since they generally occupied existing towns. However, for example, the beautiful town of Olite in Navarra, in the north of Spain, is said to have been of Visigoth origin, though the castle in the town that you see today doesn't resemble in any way what the Visigoths lived in. Or, on occasion, when you come to a town and you get some information about the local church, you'll sometimes hear that they believe it used to be a Visigoth church, but rarely is there any proof to back it up. Part of the problem is that some of the towns weren't really founded until well after the Visigoths were removed from power, and the claims are thus suspect. And other places or other churches may have been Visigoth in the origin, but they've been replaced, or they have the church that you're looking at has been built on top, so there's really nothing left to see. But there are some bona fide temples scattered around the country. They're sort of small, chunky-looking churches. They're cool, though, often isolated from the rest of the town. Some good examples are San Juan de Baños in Palencia and Santa Lucia del Trampal in Cáceres. The Visigoths were also known for making magnificent objects of precious metals, especially gold, often studded with gems the size of almonds. These were known as votive crowns and crosses, the most precious coming from royalty. In case you were wondering, a votive offering is one that you leave at a place without any intention of recovering it. The treasure of Guadalajara, which was found in the province of Toledo, is a brilliant example of what the Visigoths were capable of making, and you can see it for yourself, or at least part of it, in Madrid's terrific Museum of Archaeology. It's highly recommendable, so please go. Anyway, the final years of the Visigoths were characterized by their constant infighting and backstabbing, and by backstabbing, I mean that quite literally. The squabbling and murdering would play a part in their destiny, as rival parties would betray each other relentlessly and without an iota of scruples. If ever there was a time to invade Hispania and grab its land without too much resistance, the dawn of the 8th century was the moment, and the Muslims, the Moors, would take full advantage of that. But that, my friends, is for our next episode. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain-Demain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. If you wish to support Brian Spain-Demain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.